Hello, it's Friday the 8th of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer and I too have lost 3 wickets in 8 balls for no runs at all. Welcome back to Papercuts, the modern newspaper review, where every morning we skip to the corner shop to nab a cheeky twirl and a blue plastic bag full of today's papers. Back in the office, we get to work finding you the absolute best bits on offer, whether that's Adrian Chiles climbing a tree, The Telegraph deciding that Britain is a broken nation of serfs, or The Star picking yet another fight with those fun squishing boffins. Then we turn it all into a podcast. We save the twirl for afters. And if you enjoy the show and you fancy helping us out with a few quid every month, then why not join the Papercut Supporters Club? Rest assured that every penny you send is wisely spent on buying newspapers and paying producers and on Scotty's demand for, hang on, let me read this out, enough of an appearance fee to cover a second-class return to Manchester. What a prima donna.
Well, now I know there's budget for a twirl, I want a curly whirly.
So if you fancy helping us out and getting ad-free episodes, a special extra story at the end of the show, and maybe even a Papercuts mug or a t-shirt, then why not pop over to the show notes and click on back.papercutsshow.com to see how you too can become a Papercuts supporter. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Cheer up, love. It's International Women's Day and the papers are celebrating. Give that dog a throne. Crunch canine competition time as Cruft returns. And all work, no gay. A Queer Eye expose has all the dirt on why Bobby left. Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Papercuts, where Sharon Osbourne is our 5-day and out queen. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is presenter of Pod Save the UK and proper budget SWAT, it's Coco Khan.
Hi, Coco. Hiya.
And also with us is host of self-help podcasts and man who knows a right hunt when he sees one, it's Scotty.
I'm so sorry that you've ruined Celebrity Big Brother for me. I didn't know that spoiler about Sharon.
Oh, yeah, she's out too. 5 days, sorry. So what have we got on the front pages today? Coco, you have the serious papers.
Yes, and it is a depressing day, which is lovely for International Women's Day. So on the Financial Times, the headline is that Hunt pulls £200 million from councils after clawing back house sale funds. On the front page of The Guardian, we've got the US to build port on shore of Gaza to allow aid deliveries. Meanwhile, on The Telegraph, you've got London is now a no-go zone for Jews.
Really? Wow.
It's a quote rather than an assertion.
Okay.
But nonetheless, very, very troubling. On the front page of The Times, we've got doctors to track patients' step counts on NHS app.
That's quite funny.
Doctors to become disappointed with step counts on NHS app. And then on the front page of The Eye, Labour and Tories refuse to explain UK spending cuts before 2024 election.
That's quite funny also. We're not going to tell you what we're going to do. Okay, and what do you have, Scotty?
I also have the serious papers. I'm starting with The Sun, the people's paper.
Yeah.
The headline is Red Bullish. This is the bid to end the sext scandal. And big news is the Beeb are likely to have Paddy on Radio 2. There you go, that's big news.
Isn't it?
Daily Mail, we're going with, don't leave our country defenceless. It's like such a thing, isn't it? Britain has no credible plan to fund armed forces. So the Daily Mail are starting a campaign. So
oh, right.
There's also that. Rupert Murdoch is also engaged for the 6th time at 92.
That is romantic.
I wonder what it is about him. We just don't know what it is about him.
So enigmatic, I imagine. The Daily Mirror, the heart of Britain,
yeah.
I think you'll find. Lovely picture here of Paul O'Grady with a lovely puppy, lovely little dog there. And we're going to see Paul O'Grady's final TV series aired very shortly.
Nice.
That is very nice. And underneath, the Tory budget bombshell, pension pinchers. Again, looking at Hunt's budget from this week. And the Daily Star.
Yay!
Proud to love animals.
Always.
They're going with something I've said many a time. Keep your filthy hands off our sausages. And this is a hard-hitting news because Costa have reduced the amount of sausages that are now coming in a sausage bap.
What?
Wow! From what to what?
Yeah, from 3
from
to 2?
From 4 to 3.
You're
well,
talking halves
two
here,
halves
right?
To 1.5 halves.
Wow.
If that's an actual bit of maths. But they also have got a question, which is thought of the day, red sauce in a sausage bap? Oh. ? Savages.
It is. That is correct. Savages.
Is that the big regional divide, do you think?
What? It's brown sauce, Coco.
I would go red. Like my sauce red, like my politics red.
Whereas I'm full on Daily Star.
What would I have? And do you know what? I quite like, there's a very fancy brand of tomato ketchup. I think that's the subtle, that I don't want to say, but I do like Stokes. It's like £4 a bottle.
Okay. But you're so bougie.
I'm very bougie. That shouldn't be such a surprise to you.
Okay, Coco, shall we have just a quick look at a couple of these stories about local councils on the front pages? One's on the front of the FT, one's on the front of the I. They are both rather depressing, but I feel like we should just have a quick look.
They are indeed. So on the front page of the Financial Times, they're talking about Jeremy Hunt's new approach. Well, not new approach, to council house sales. So ordinarily, when a local council sells a council house, they were expected to pay 25% of that to Westminster. Now, obviously, with everything with the cost of living crisis and the, you know, pandemic, blah, 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 for some years now, they have not had to do that. However, despite the situation being quite grim and lots of murmurs about being in a recession or certainly approaching one, the Chancellor has decided he wants that 25% back. So it's really scary for councils. I'm not sure what they can cut further. And speaking of council cuts, just to put into context how bad it will be, the I have a story that they've trailed on the front page about how Birmingham City Council, which has already declared itself bankrupt, is now unable to provide transport for its SEND pupils. So they can't go to school. They physically are unable to go to school.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. It's kids between the ages of 16 to 18. They use, you know, they run a school transport system so that they can actually get from school, from home to school and back again, and they're cutting it because they have to make £300 million worth of cuts. It's completely tragic.
And this is cuts on top of cuts as well. I think that's the thing that we really need to remind ourselves. It's like the way that this has been reporting is like suddenly these councils have got to find this money. But this has been happening for almost the best part of 15 years.
Yes, it's really terrible. Basically, the FT, because it's the FT, Talks Money, says that since 2010, core spending power for councils has been cut by more than 25%.
Oh, dear.
And there's not really any way for councils to raise that money. I mean, they've already been told by central government that they can't increase council tax. So what are they meant to do? The other mechanism would be business rates. Again, there's freezes around that. And also business isn't doing so great. It's really tough. And I think councils are the way, on a serious note, of how we experience politics, right? The bins, the GP surgeries, the whatever, schools. The parks, the schools. And seeing your local area kind of fall down like that is really, really sad. And I do feel sorry, particularly for these parents. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to have to stay home, I suppose, with the kids? What does that mean for their working situation? What does that mean for their finances? Anyway, it's all very, very sad.
We start to move towards the sort of hidden generation of people from lots of different sectors of society who'll be out of sight and out of mind. And we've been here before, we know, in recent history. And I think that's what we're seeing again. You know, it's like, well, you'll have to pick up the slack for that.
Now, it's International Women's Day today. Hooray for us all.
Woohoo!
It's also National Freelancers Day and National Middle Name Day as well, actually. But anyway, several papers have decided to celebrate our special day alongside all of us lovely women. Shall we have a look at how they are doing this? Coco,
yes.
The Independent, which is an online paper these days, it has really decided to go all in for the ladies today, hasn't it?
It has indeed. Mm. So on its digital front page is Britain's 50 most influential women. It includes names like Penny Mordaunt, Fluella Benjamin, Kate Garraway. Inside, there's more: Tracy Emin, Ray, Dua Lipa, Jamila Jamil. Mm. You'll be pleased to hear they've all been ranked, which is very much in the spirit of Women's Day. It's very good to pit them against each other, I think. That's really important.
Yeah, that's what we want.
And the number one position actually goes to Brianna Jai's mother, Esther Jai. So I think overall what's interesting about it is it raises a philosophical question, which is, what is influence? Mm. What is influence? What does it mean to be influential? Because some of the figures on the list are certainly present, certainly famous, but influential. Kate Middleton, for example. I'm pretty sure she's contractually obliged not to be influential and not to give opinions.
And also, like, who is she influencing? Do we all, like, if by witnessing her wonder, when she's around, being very skinny and not speaking, is this, like, what we're meant to, like, aim for?
Well, exactly. Exactly, exactly. You know, Shirley Bassey.
I'm
not having anything about Shirley Bassey.
You can't say anything bad about Shirley Bassey.
No, come on. There has to, if it's influential women of the year, they have to have done something influential this year. It cannot be from the past.
Okay.
What has Shirley Bassey done this year?
Well, do you know what?
Fair. Being alive, actually. Basically.
And do you know what? Good on her.
Good on her for being alive.
I am just going to, you know, it's Shirley Bassey.
Yeah.
She's the only dame that I actually care for. Do you know what I mean?
Just the fact that she's there.
She's there. She's
our Dolly Parton.
She's a reminder. She's a reminder that we can hold on to the glamour of life all of this is unrolling in front of us.
I always find it funny in influential lists where they put politicians because obviously that is true, they have influence, but again, that is their job. So then, to what extent should that be valorized? Like, you know.
Yeah, I find it weird when they put actors in there or actresses, whatever you want to say. But like, I think Gillian Anderson, is she influential? I mean, she's a great actor. Like, what? Am I influenced by her? Olivia Colman?
I've been very influenced by both of those, but I think that is largely because I am an Ellie. And anyone with a strong haircut and in a bold kind of role, I'm like, you're living for me, Gillian. But I think it's the one that gets me is Penny Morden, because you just know she's just like opened the paper today and being like, yes, my de facto queen status is rising again.
You know,
she loves it. You know,
she's got a quote as well, which is the kind of quote that slightly drives me mad. You know, her quote is, "It's inspiring and bloody difficult women who make Britain great." Whereas I would argue that it's the uninspiring women who just keep going, who make Britain great. But, you know, I'm not Penny Mordaunt. Shall we analyse the photo, Scotty?
Do you know, on International Women's Day, I'd love nothing more than judging the photographs. But these pictures that they've published in The Eye are very peculiar.
Yeah.
They look slightly AI generated. I must say that not all 50 women were given the opportunity to be photographed. Only 10 of them were valuable enough to be photographed. But they're like, if you could imagine like Sim City versions of headshots where they're highly polarized and you kind of have to look at the name to be like, oh, that's Rosie Jones. Oh, that's Penny Mordaunt. Like, they slightly don't look like the people that they're supposed to illustrate.
They completely don't look like the people. They look like they're carved out of polished wood. It's a really weird look, I mean, I have to say. Anyway, at least there's a vaguely celebratory tone about this Indomitable piece. Shall we turn to The Guardian?
Yes,
how
please.
How does The Guardian decide to celebrate our special day?
Well, you know, The Guardian does its traditional way of showing love, which is tough love and making you feel sad and depressed. And they've achieved it very well this International Women's Day. So on the front page, they have trailed a story about Killed Women Count. That's a project that highlights the toll of male violence. It quite literally names every woman that's been killed by a man this year. I believe it's the list that Jess Phillips reads out.
Yeah.
And it's a list that is growing and it's just very, very harrowing. On the top of the paper, you've also got a comment piece from the author Angela Saini. She talks about why history shows that patriarchy is far from inevitable, which is, you know, kind of upbeat and uplifting, but also, why do we have it then? It's a bit sad.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And inside, I have to say, next to the story about the Killed Women Count, there's two other stories, right? One is about how mothers earn 4.44% an hour less than other women. And the other one is about how domestic violence is the driver of bad mental health among women. It is the most depressing page for International Women's Day that I can imagine.
Do you feel inspired?
I do not. And the other thing I would really object to about these stories is it's all about stuff that is being done to women. You're being killed. There is domestic violence that is affecting you. You're not, nobody's paying you right. I would like on International Women's Day to have a nice story about an older group of women who form a commune and have a great time. Mm-hmm. And all about women that set up kind of food banks that are helping their community. The women doing things, not having stuff done to us all the time. It drives me nuts. But anyway, it's a lovely piece, isn't it?
I'm annoyed that my mum isn't in it. Do you know what I mean? But what I mean by that is, like, you know, working class women like my mum who work for the council and they're just trying their best to try and keep society stitched together in a really small way.
Yeah. Or
that
having a laugh.
Feels, yeah.
You know, why not? You know, all those stories that they run as the supposedly really bad side of the Grand National. I'm like, yeah, put them up. They're great. I love them. Now, yesterday was the opening day of Crufts 2024, a special day for many, many people and many, many canines. There are 24,000 dogs competing this year. And the papers have covered this event in the best way they know by printing lots of pictures of the competing hounds. They're quite good pictures, aren't they?
Oh my God, it's stunning. I mean, just for context, I think this is like the OG drag race because it's so camp what they do to dogs. Yeah. And if you like have no idea what Crufts is, 130,000 people descend upon Birmingham with their 24,000 dogs. Can you imagine what the hotel rooms smell like?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's
special carpets, it must be.
I've got some facts about Crufts, which I think are quite important to share. It's the 18th year that head lesbian Claire Balding has presented it, which I just think, what commitment to the cause. Best in show was paused during World War II. But the rest of the show happened. Oh, just the best in show didn't.
Okay.
And why was that out of respect to dogs who weren't there?
working dogs. The dogs were involved. Oh, yeah, dogs. Military dogs.
Fair enough. The televised part of it creates 17 hours of footage.
Quite right.
That's quite something, isn't it? Yep. And do you know what? All of these people flying from all around the world, there's like 3,500 dogs from other countries that come. They are all fighting for £200.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
£200 and a silver plate.
But do they go on, you know, like if you are on Love Island, you get a lucrative boohoo deal. Is it a bit like that? You become something else?
No, I think it's just accolade. But I think, the pictures are the things that does it for me because it's always like a really jazzed up poodle. And if you, I was looking at this picture this morning and I was like, this reminds me of someone. And it's Rod Stewart. There's something about it. And what I mean by
that. The little legs.
There's something about it where it's like, it's a bit like looking at a 90-year-old wearing a pair of low-cut Zara jeans. Do you know what I mean? That you're like, there's something about this picture that feels a little bit bizarre. The dogs never look happy.
No.
They look steeply upset.
Apart from the ones that do the agility rounds, they look really happy.
The working dogs.
Oh, they're
the ones. Yeah, that's the working dog round.
Yeah, that's my favourite. That makes me cry. I love them because they're so happy.
It's a bit like horse racing. So some of the people, the dog isn't the same person as the handler, isn't the same person who would present the dog. So there's a whole team behind the dogs.
Those are proper models.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Absolutely.
And just put a little bow in the hair.
And Czechia, people from Czechia, they do really well in Best in Show.
Oh. This is great.
There you go. Those are my fun facts. You're welcome.
Now it's Frisley, which means that we can yet again set you up.
Can we have a moment to appreciate that?
Thank you. Which means we can yet again set you up to enter the world's best and possibly only weekly Beat the Sub-Editor at Their Own Job competition. Yes, it's Fix the Headline time. This is where we find you a great story with an ungreat headline and get you, the fabulous Paper Cuts listeners, to think up a better one. This week, we've got a story from the Daily Star about a new all-you-can-drink deal for families at Butlins. Shall we just take a moment to think about that? That's really going to end well. The headline is Naughty But Nice. There is a lot you can do with this one, we feel. So if you think you can do better, we really know you can this week, then send in your suggestions with the hashtag FixTheHeadline to @PaperCutsShow on X or Threads, and we will read out a selection on Monday, and the very best one will win a highly stylish Papercuts t-shirt. What are you waiting for? But there must be some better ones out there today. Do you have any good headlines, Coco?
I do indeed. So, as ever, the sun does deliver.
Yeah.
So we've got one here which is about how a doctor, when giving a colonoscopy, would play the theme tune of Indiana Jones.
Whoa. Okay. That's a bit weird.
And the headline is Raiders of the Lost Arse.
Okay.
That's very good.
Not bad. I don't know how I'd feel if that happened to me, though. I mean, how would you feel if you're going for a colonoscopy and then... And then someone puts that on.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
I prefer Star Wars, I think. Being completely honest. And we have a write-up about a scathing report into sexism in the financial centre in the city. And the headline is Sexism and the City.
Mm, fair.
Fair.
Yeah.
It does its job.
It does,
It's sturdy. What you want in a headline.
Yeah.
Scotty, what have you got?
Oh, well, I've got some real corkers. That was irony, because I actually don't get this one.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to read it, and then you can help me explain it. So I've got the star. So it says, the next film in the Jurassic World series will be shot in the UK after huge tax breaks were announced this week.
Yeah.
And the headline is, dinosaur film made here after tax break.
No, it's that. Oh.
I'm not getting the pun. Okay, here we go. So, I get it now because the headline is Jurassic Perks.
Jurassic Perks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tax Perks.
I just read the bit that was in bold. There's more. Again, I don't get this one either.
Okay.
But I think I am reading the right bit this time. Psycho cats are controlling humans. Is this my job? Psycho cats are controlling humans and making us take more risks in our life,
oh, okay.
A boffin says.
Yeah.
And the headline there is, feline weird, blame the cat.
That's all right, feline.
Oh, okay. Well, you
weird.
Know when you say it aloud and you're like, okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah. Brits will be able to rocket to Disney World in Florida in 30 minutes by some new sonic aeroplane.
Wow, okay.
Are you taking the Mickey?
Very good. We like that.
Yeah.
I think that was a very lukewarm response for the one that was actually quite good.
Round of applause.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saida Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch,
yeah.
We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we're moving away from the UK press to discuss a feature that has been going quietly viral for a few days. It is a piece from Rolling Stone about Netflix hit Queer Eye, which will be returning for a new series, but without home designer and renovator Bobby Burke. So, this is quite a piece of writing, isn't it, Scotty? Let's get into it.
It's very exciting. And like you say, it's been like bubbling for a while. There's all gossip about who's in it, who likes each other, who hates it. If you've never watched the show, it's been going for 6 years, 8 seasons. Everybody loves it. Essentially, it's like a whole bunch of queer people who have got the Messiah complex and love going around working class people's houses and being like, oh my God, you live like this? And supposedly that's aspirational. And this group of so-called friends who like trade off of this massive positivity vibe, well, if you look beneath the covers, right, it isn't as positive as it makes out, hey?
Yeah.
I have like major problems with the program itself just because I do think it's like super classist.
Yeah.
Because it just like essentially goes and looks at these like quite sad working class men that have like been shaped by life and then says to them like everything about you is wrong. Mm. And the fact that you don't know what a Beaujolais is means that you're never going to be a happy person.
Yeah.
So it creates this like environment that like to be middle class and aspirational is what is going to get you out of this stench that
we'll
you're living
save
in.
You.
We'll save you.
And it's only the trappings of middle classness, like the Beaujolais and the sort of fancy moisturiser. They don't actually improve the life chances of that person in any way.
No, I mean, that would be quite a high ask.
In a week.
I mean, the gossip is that Bobby's leaving and everyone's like, why is Bobby leaving?
Yeah. I mean, I think personally, it was always obvious that Bobby, if out of any of them, Bobby would leave. So we've got five people in the Fab Five. We've got Karamo Brown. Mm. He does kind of culture and self-improvement and does lots of, you know, heavy-duty talks with people. And Jonathan Van Ness, they do hair and grooming. We've got Tan France, he's clothes. And we've got Anthony Porowski, and he's cooking. And then Bobby. Bobby Burke is home design. He comes into these people's houses and basically he works like a dog for a week and then presents them with a new house. So obviously he's quite busy during the week doing that, right? And he doesn't get as much airtime as the others because he basically is working, I think. And also, I think the producers or the directors have decided he's not as interesting as the others. He's maybe a little older. He's not as flamboyant. So people have been talking about this for quite a while, I have to say, that he does all the work and gets none of the airtime.
Right. And it's like clear that if someone did up your house, it would be more meaningful to you than Anthony making you avocado toast. He's an attractive man, so that would be quite fun. Yeah. But, I mean, that's 45 minutes of fun, max. Whereas what Bobby Burke's doing is changing your life for a really long time. Mm.
Yeah. So they've got another season. So they thought the season was over. But Netflix, something dropped out and they said, oh, can you have a new season? And Bobby said, you know what? No, I'm quite busy. I've got a job to do. And they brought in one of Tan France's friends. But okay, aside from all of this, the huge gossip is really that none of them get on apart from Tan and Anthony, and that Jonathan is not as nice as we'd hoped. That is
big news.
So Bobby making those alternative plans that he said, oh, those have gone so far, I can't do another series, is actually because he was distancing himself from the brand.
Yeah. Sources say.
Sources say.
And it's plural, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. So the source that we're quite interested in. So Jonathan Van Ness, who's JVN, is really the clear breakout personality from Queer Eye. But there's a lot of sources, 4 production sources and 3 who have worked with them said they were terrible to work with. And they've used words like monster, nightmare, demeaning. They're intense, scary, a yeller. There's an emotion of fear. So I am actually quite devastated because I love Jonathan. So I feel a bit sad about this, I have to say.
But I feel like the professionally upbeat are always the most monstrous.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the deal, isn't it? If you are that charismatic, there's always a downside.
Well, it depends what you see as charisma. Mm. You know, fundamentally, I have a problem with this idea that people, for their own happiness, will have to completely change culturally in who they are. Mm. And so I don't think I've ever seen them. I think I preferred the first version, like the first iteration in like the late 90s, which was just out and out like bitchy, which was just like, your hair looks horrible, let's give you highlights, you know. At least like it was really open. I think there's a lot of masking that goes around programs that kind of touch on this culture.
So everything has to be positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same agenda, but just like said with like, please and thank you.
And I suppose as well, there is that, it sort of speaks to that kind of overall problem with self-help in general, which is like you as an individual, your misery is your problem and you need to make it better. Whereas actually a lot of people's misery is because of things that have happened to them. And
it's not going to be solved by serum.
No. Although I do have one other question about Queer Eye, which is just for my own... Tan France, his famous move in the show is the French tuck, right?
Yep.
Is that because he's Tan France that it's a French tuck?
No. Literally never thought of that.
Stunning work. Like, I'm now sat here being like, maybe I love this program.
Is it not? Is it from France or Tan France?
I think the idea is like the French.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
The French wouldn't do that, I don't think.
No, but like in America and in Australia, they have a very strange relationship with the French. You know, like all Australians call champagne French champagne.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that idea that French is the most exotic and the most like stunning. So I would imagine it comes from that.
Right, okay. Yeah. All right, that's good to know.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Coco.
Thank you.
Thanks to Scotty.
Thank you so much.
And of course, thanks to you lovely listeners, especially our Paper Cuts supporters who get a shout out on the show. Coco, who have you got?
So it's a hello and thank you and happy International Women's Day to Benjamin Dizier and Paul Harris.
From me, it's a hi and thank you and happy International Women's Day to Jim Walker and Mark Foster.
And from me, it's hi and thank you and yep, happy International Women's Day to all these men, to Christopher Stevens and Ian Shaw. I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Metro has a story about a woman who has travelled more than 1,500 miles around the world with the ashes of her pet hamster, Spud.
Aww. That's sweet. Is it sweet?
Yeah. Oh, let's hope Spud you liked it. Thank you.
No, I was really laughing at the fact that you made that land and then you were like, come on, everybody.
See you on Monday.
Happy International Women's Day from Paper Cuts, which was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Coco Khan and Scotty. The producer was Liam Tate, assistant producer was Adam Wright, and audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, design by Jim Parrott, with original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boytosh, managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, and group editor is Andrew Harrison. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.